chapter 5 just for a minute tonight. I was going to do something else, but I feel like this way the Lord had me to go, so just a few minutes this evening. I want to encourage you that are praying and fasting. If you are not praying and fasting, I'd like to encourage you to do that. Jesus said, "This kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting." Prayer and fasting. Amen. Let me make sure I'm on here, y'all. Not yet. 1, 2. How's that? Coming on now? I heard a preacher make fun of people fasting in a camp meeting. He's one of the preachers said something about fasting. He got up and he said, "That's crazy. Y'all can fast. I'll pray." And I have not heard one message on fasting on the radio or probably in 10 years, maybe one. And why have we left that out of our doctrine and our lives? I'll tell you why. Because the flesh don't like it. And it's uncomfortable for our flesh. Now, Jesus said there are certain things that'll never happen except by prayer and fasting. Fasting by itself won't work. Prayer by itself won't work. Prayer and fasting. I'm imagining that some of you had some good experiences this week as you were fasting. And I can assume, I've already heard a couple. Illustration. Preacher, it's way harder than I thought it was. Preacher, God blessed me. Preacher, I fasted Monday, or I fasted Tuesday, whatever. Get in on it, and the Lord will bless you. I don't care if you're diabetic and got hypoglycemia. You can fast a little bit. I don't even know what that is, but you can fast a little bit. Amen. You sure you can? You can fast a little while. You can miss some meals. God will bless you for it. All right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and I will look at verse 17. Little verse, only 3 words. I think this might be the second shortest verse in the Bible. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Now, what does that scripture mean? Does it mean that we are supposed to pray non-stop, pray around the clock? Well, no, it don't. Sometimes you gotta sleep. Sometimes you gotta conduct your business at work. Praying without ceasing means that I don't quit praying. Like, I see somebody down there, they say, "Pray for me, Danny," and I say, "Okay." And then I see them next week, I pray for them every night before I go to bed. "You still praying for me?" "Yeah. I have not ceased to pray for them." In other words, we don't quit praying. Praying without ceasing. Now, I'd like to just point out a few things tonight that real prayer will do in your life. Real prayer will do in your life. I make the preface, "your real prayer," because there's a lot of praying tonight that does no good. Any prayer that's not sincere from the heart does no good. Any prayer that's offered in vain does no good. Any prayer offered not in Jesus' name is no good. That means every prayer prayed by every Muslim in the world is a waste of breath and a waste of time. God does not hear it. That don't mean we're any better than they are. That means God, if they pray through Jesus' name and get right with God, Lord, hear Him, same as with us. No, God does not hear prayer that's not through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, like that was God right there. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." He's the door into God. You ain't going to get to God except through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we need to get that through our head this evening. When a Roman Catholic twiddles beads and says, "Hail Mary, full of grace, Mother of God, remember us now and at the hour of our death. Hail Mary, Mother of God, full of grace, remember us now in the hour of our death." And it's just vain repetition. You know how far that goes? About right here. As far as it goes. Only a prayer in Jesus' name does God hear. I don't have to say that here. Y'all know that. So let me just say, the right kind of prayer will do some things in your life. First of all, let me say what real prayer will do for you. Since we're praying a lot here in the next few weeks, we've got just a little over 6, 7, 42, just barely 6 weeks left. 5 weeks left to the youth rally. Just a little over 30-something days. 5 weeks and some days left to the youth rally. Now we're going to bow down and pray. I am, and I hope you are too. I'll be preaching up yonder in the mountains, almost in Virginia, tomorrow night. And I'm going to get down there and I'm going to pray the Lord's help. They put us in a little bitty house. It's out in the middle of nowhere. And the little TV thing don't work. It ain't like two channels. And there ain't nothing else. There ain't no internet or nothing like that. We can get down and we can say, "Dear God, would you help us?" Ladies and gentlemen, we need somebody to pray. We need some ladies that'll get the burden and pray. We need some men that'll say, I'll turn the TV off. I'll get up early in the morning. I'll get in my prayer closet. I'll beg God. You know what causes revivals? People praying. You know what'll cause a great bunch of young people get saved? People praying. I don't care how good the preaching is. It ain't going to work if God don't get in the hearts of the young people. I don't care how good the singing is. It won't change a person's heart till somebody rings them prayer bells and gets a hold of God. So I'm going to say a few things it'll do for you tonight. And the first thing, it'll kill the sin in your life. If you pray enough, it'll kill the sin in your life. Praying and sin is just like shooting Roundup on weeds. If you take Roundup and you go in there and you just squirt them weeds right there, you might not see it for a little while. You come back the next day and it's sort of wilted a little bit. You come back the next day, it's really wilted. You come the next day, it's brown dead after a few days. Now that's exactly what prayer will do to sin in your life. Have you got a sin in your life? Anybody in here got a sin in your life? A secret sin? Something you don't want nobody to know about? You've been stealing, or you've been lying, or you've been talking to somebody you're not married to, or messing around, or doing something, and you think it's all quiet, and nobody don't know nothing about it, and it's all hidden. I tell you what you can do. You can get in there and say, "Dear God, spray the Roundup on that. Dear God, get it out of me. Dear God, I pray." And you know what? If you'll do that long enough days, it's just like spraying weed killer on weeds. Prayer can be the sin killer in your life. I don't care what kind of habit you got. Man came to me one time. He said, "Preacher, pray for me. I can quit smoking." I said, "All right, you want to quit smoking? I'll pray for you." He said, "It's expensive. It costs me a lot of money." He said, "I pay all this money on it." He said, "I'd be better off." I said, "That's right." You know what we done? There's a gang of us standing around the parking lot, and we got down in a circle and prayed like this, and he got up like that, took a pack of cigarettes out and put it across the highway, and I seen that fella about 8 or 9 years later. He said, "Daddy, God done something for me." He said, "I've never wanted another one since that day." Now, sin's different. Now, it may not be that way with you. You may have a fight with it. Sometimes you can give stuff up just like that, and other times, "Well, I know somebody said I ain't smoked in a year, and I could eat one as long as that table right there. Your desire never did leave, but they fought off, but God helped them, and God helped them." And I'm going to tell you tonight, there ain't nothing that you can't quit if you'll pray about it long enough and hard enough. Try it. Try it. I dare you. I dare you. You have a hard feeling towards somebody? Get down and pray about it. "Lord, make me quit hating her. God, please." I mean, you might as well be honest with him. He knows the truth anyway. I've heard people say, "Lord, if we've done..." Ain't no if to it. Don't get down and say, "If." We talking about if. "Lord, we have really messed up. Lord, we ain't fit to shoot. Lord, we ought to be in hell. Would you please help us? I have hard feelings toward that lady. I have hard feelings toward that man. God, would you help me to like my boss, please? God, would you help me? Please, Lord." Why, it won't be long until you'll find something. I mean, bake them a cake and take it to them. Amen? That's right. I mean, prayer will kill the sin in your life. Let me say this. Secondly, this evening. You know what prayer will do? It'll give you strength. It'll give you strength to do right. Beware of limiting God. Beware of thinking that you know what He can and will do and are happy and satisfied with second or third best. I found this out, that God will give you strength. I've heard people say, "Well, I don't see how a person could go through what so-and-so went through." And it's like Paul. Old Paul came to the Lord one time, and he had a thorn in the flesh. That's a good way of putting it. It's like a big old thorn sticking right here. You got a big thorn sticking in your body, It's aggravating, buddy. Let me tell you. I had just a little old splinter in my heel the other day, and I put tennis shoes on, played ball that night, and Lord, it kept aggravating me. And I'm a big, strong man! And that little bitty splinter kept bothering me. And I thought, something that little can aggravate the fire out of you. And I finally got the tweezer and she pulled it out. And brother, it was a piece of glass that I'd stepped in. And I messed with it for a day. And you know what? Finally got it out. Now that's the way a little old sin will get in your heart. It'll keep you from having victory. It'll keep you from being blessed. It'll keep you from enjoying God. It'll keep you from raising your hands and praising. Just that little sin. You ever been starting to do something and the Lord says, you shouldn't do that? Or have you ever went ahead and done it and you thought, oh my goodness, I've done wrong. That's a bad feeling, isn't it? You know how to get out of that? Get in your prayer closet and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm repenting. I'll make things right with anybody I need to make things right with. Help me, Lord. Help me, God. And get strength to overcome that sin in your life. It's a strength obtainer. But not only that, prayer is the help giver. Prayer is the help giver. The angel of the Lord came and helped get Peter out of jail when he was in trouble. I've been in trouble before and the Lord helped me out. And if you'll pray, He'll get you out of trouble. When you have burden, when you have needs, financial needs, physical needs. When I get sick, first thing I do is pray. I believe in going to the doctor. I believe in taking the right medicine in the right way. But the first thing I do is pray. When I need help, I pray. When I am in trouble, I pray. When a blue light comes on, I pray. I pray before He turns it on. Don't you? I mean, I just see Him, oh Lord, please don't make me invisible. Lord, and sometimes He does, and sometimes He don't. But you pray, oh God, help me, oh God. Oh God, help me, oh God. There ain't nothing too big or too little. Pray about. When I first got saved, me and all these boys in Marion run around together. And out in Marion, you can tell if you're really old now, we had a drive-in. You remember the drive-ins? You'd actually drive your car and sit and watch the movies? How many of y'all have ever been to a real drive-in? Where you'd, oh, okay. Some of y'all are pretty old too. Okay, about two-thirds of them. We used to get in there, it didn't cost like 75 cents to get in, and we'd have one guy drive, and two or three down in the back seat, like that. And then when these guys went in the trunk, I never would let them do that to me. I know that sorry bunch I run around with. They'd let you in that trunk the whole time they was in there while they watched the movie. And I said, I ain't getting in that trunk. I'll pay before I get in that trunk. But we'd get down and hide in the back seat. One guy would drive. The only reason we did just to see if we could do that. You know, we was 14, 15, 16 years old. We didn't a bit more watch a movie than Man to Moon. Yet they'd have a little thing about this big, and they'd stick it on your window, where you turn the speaker up where you could hear and see the movie. And there'd be people sitting in the woods and everything out there watching it. Well, when I got saved, all them boys said, that wicked drive-in out there, it's full of the devil. And we got down, they said, let's pray God will burn it down. I said, all right, let's do it. And we got down, we said, Lord, burn the drive-in down. Times have changed, ain't it? The worst thing in McDowell County at that time was a drive-in. Wasn't no internet. Wasn't no cell phones. Wasn't no beer or alcohol to be sold in the whole county. The worst thing in town. Lord, I wish we could have that back and get rid of all this stuff. How's the Sunday school class compared to what it is now? I told somebody yesterday, all the preachers used to preach about TV. Listen, TV couldn't hold a drop in the bucket to that internet. And our kids have got it in their hand. Everywhere they go, when they lay down to go to bed at night, everything in the world is right in their hand with a punch of a button. That's scary, buddy. That's scary. And if it had been something like that when we was teenagers, we'd have done it 24 hours a day. Anyway, we prayed, God burn the drive-in down. 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 And finally somebody said, well, I heard a preacher say that you're supposed to put legs on your prayers. Got a match? I said, I don't think we're really supposed to do that, are we? No, let's just ask the Lord to. We prayed, Well, lo and behold, you ain't gonna believe this. The drive-in of Marion caught on fire and burned up. The screen, the other thing, burned up. And we got back together and said, boys, the drive-in burned down. God burned the drive-in down. We couldn't believe it. And we'd been asking Him and asking Him and asking Him. And I don't know if He did it because of answer our prayers or some redneck got mad at the owner or what. I don't know what the deal was. But I'm going to tell you something, brother. We ought to pray about what. You know what I'm praying now? God, get in that youth rally. God, please fill that place full of people. God, save young people. God, change people's lives. I'm planning a new video presentation for Friday night. On Saturday night, we're doing that big thing. No second chance. No second chance. I'm praying the Holy Ghost of God will get in there and convict hearts and change people's lives. And it'll never be the same. And I believe God can do that. Say amen. Amen. He sure can. I've told you this story before. But for the benefit of about half of you, it wasn't here. My cousin, Dennis Bean, Patsy's younger brother, Miss Patsy. You know, Patsy went home to be with the Lord a few months ago. When I got saved, I was like, love him. When you first get saved, you just believe everything in the Bible, and you believe, I'll pray in the Lord, and something happens to you over the years. You grow and backslide at the same time, where you think, you don't really get stuff you pray for. Well, my Uncle Pat, which is my mom's brother, was over in the hospital in Oteen. It's a VA hospital in Asheville. And it was winter time. He had a heart attack. So I took Dennis, my cousin, over there to visit him. So me and Dennis was riding on. I had a little blue Volkswagen that my daddy had. And I drove a blue Volkswagen Bug. Light blue, like Carolina blue, like sky blue. And I was driving that thing. Lord, it was cold. I mean cold. You want to go to a cold place? Go there to Oteen, Swannanoa and all that in the middle of the winter when the wind's blowing. That's the coldest place. I guarantee you, chill factor had to be 30 below zero. That's what it felt like. It'd been raining, and it ice everywhere, and it cleared off. And Dennis was a skeptic, an agnostic. And all the way over, I said, now, Dennis, I got saved, and you need to get saved. And all that, and he said, Castle, come on. Come on, man. He said, I'm going to grow up and drink beer and get in a rock band. And he had a set of drums in his basement, and he played drums and tried to play drums all the time. And I don't know if he ever got in a band or not, but he said, Castle, you're crazy. I said, it's true. It helped me. It changed me. I'm going to heaven. He said, come on, man. And he bumped me all the way over to Asheville. Well, we got over there and got out of the car. I don't know who in the world designs them hospitals, but they ought to have to visit them. You park over here somewhere. The hospital's about down there where the interstate is. Put a handicapped place here and make them on a wheelchair a half a mile. You walk around the sidewalk. I don't see why they won't let you park up against the building and put all them trees and flowers and grass out yonder somewhere somebody wants to look at it. But you have to walk and walk and walk and walk and walk. And man, we had our coats up like that right there and the wind was blowing. It was going and we visited my uncle and we went in there and prayed with him and we come back out. And the wind had blowed, and the water got in that car door and froze. And I stuck my key in that thing, and it would not turn. I turned it as hard as I could. He's over there. I said, I said, it won't open. It's froze. He said, do something. I beat on it. I twisted. You men know what I'm talking about. You know, you think you're going to break his key off in there, then we're really going to be in a mess. So I was afraid to turn it too hard, and I turned it. A little bit, beat on it, turned it back the other way, flipped. I said, man, I don't know what to do. All of a sudden, I had faith. I don't get like that too often. Once in a while. And I said, I'm going to pray and ask the Lord to open it. He looked at me like, God, what people walking by and everything. I mean, I got down. I'm not kidding you. I got down like this and said, oh, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you'd open this door. He was sitting over there going like this, you know. Who is that fool down here? I'm freezing to death. And I prayed. I kid you not, people. I am not lying. I jumped up. I said, amen, glory to God. And stuck that key in there and that thing popped up just as pretty as you please. I opened a door. I went over and opened his door. His eyes got about that big and he said, I can't believe it! I can't believe it! I can't believe it! And I just said, Ah, tell you the truth, I couldn't believe it either. If he hadn't been with me, I'd have shouted and screamed all over the place. But I didn't want him to think that I was that surprised. So I said, yeah, man, come on, happens every day. See, I told you. All the way down the mountain. All the way down the mountain. He said, man, I can't believe that. I can't believe that. We got home to Nebo, and his mama, Aunt Helen, he walked in. He said, Mom, you ain't going to believe this. The car wouldn't open. It froze up. He got down in the floor and parking lot and paid. And nobody, I seen it. It happened. I made a believer out of him, brother. I tell you, we had a time. But you know something? It don't always happen like that. But I know one thing. God's still on the throne. I know one thing, I may be little, but I got a big God. I know one thing, we may be a little shiny light Baptist church stuck on the side of a hill, and the world may not know or care. I tell you, brother, the power that made the worlds and the universe is behind this church and behind that birth. And God is bigger than all of our problems. And He's able to help us tonight. If we'll pray. If we'll pray. I like that story. Well, they said the big old, there's this big old fancy church, and the power went out somehow up on the stage. A breaker flipped or something, and they couldn't get the power on. And they had an electrician downstairs working like crazy. And the preacher got up and welcomed everybody, and they was about ready to start singing. And the organ player hit, and the dead, no power. And all of a sudden, he got it fixed downstairs, and he slipped a note up to the organ player, and it said, after prayer, the power will be on. After prayer, the power will be on. And the preacher said amen, and she hit that organ, and electricity was on it. And I'm telling you tonight, that's the way it is. After prayer, the power will be on. I wish some of y'all would help me pray. I wish God would get a hold of some people in here tonight and you say, Brother Danny, I believe it. I believe it. I'm going to spend some time in prayer on my day of fasting. Every time my belly hollers out, I'm hungry. Say, shut up and get down and pray and say, God, do something. And God, get a hold of kids. And God bless the singing. And God bless Reggie. And God bless Todd. And God bless the food. And God bless the hot dogs. And may the Holy Ghost fall down. Amen. You do that? Prayer is the help giver. I'll say this and I'm through. Prayer is the supply receiver. That's why I used to hear people say, so and so, boy, we got plugged in. You know, you ever heard anybody say, man, we was up there praying, we got plugged in. You know what they're talking about. I mean, God always hears them, but there's something different when you move into that heavenly, I don't know what it is. But a bunch of people getting together, I'll never forget. When I first got saved, and I went in one of them old Free Will Baptist churches over there in Nebo. Man, we went into a little old cement prayer block prayer room down in the basement. It smelled moldy, concrete floor painted, and blocks on the wall. And there's about 20 men got down and started screaming, begging God. And I'm telling you, I felt something in there. Good night. I felt like I was starting to float up off the ground. I'm telling you, man, these guys are getting in touch. I mean, somebody getting hold of God here. And you know what? I desire that for our church. I desire that. If we just pay a price, y'all, there's no telling what the Lord might do for our kids. If we just pay a price. You know, the youth rally's rough. It's rough on me. Physically, I dread it. I dread it because I absolutely spend myself. And I mean, there ain't no doubt about it. Those last few weeks, it's just hours, 12, 16 hours a day of every minute. But I dread that part. But you know what? It's blessing when we stand there and see them, that altar so full that you can't even get another person in the aisle and knock out the first three or four rows of chairs. So the people had over 50 saved last year. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. That does not happen unless somebody prays and gets a hold of God. It's a conduit, like a pipe. The water comes in pipes in here. Out of the well up yonder on the hill. Pipes out in here and we drink it. That's what prayer is. It's a conduit. It's a pipe that lets the power come from God through us to other people. Now, we're going to take just a minute before we go. We're going to pray. I'm stopping early. I want Miss Desi to come. We're going to pray. In just a minute, we're going to pray. Young people. All you teenagers here tonight, it's time to get a hold of God. You got some sin you're holding on to? Lay it down right here tonight and say, God, by your grace, I'm leaving that out of my life. I'm turning my back on it. I'm repenting. Mamas and daddy, same thing. She's playing. I want the ladies over there on that side, men over here on this side, if you'll come and join us tonight, we're going to pray a little bit before we go. If you're not hindered in some way, want to come and pray, you come on. And if you want to pray there at your seats, that's all right too. As long as you pray and honor God, do right. Amen. Come on, let's get in here tonight. Maybe you ain't been to the altar in a long time. Maybe you've never been to the altar. Good time to start, right?